Amen. Please be seated. All right. Have you ever prayed for somebody and it seemed like God was silent? Have you ever prayed for somebody and you prayed and it was for their good? It wasn't a selfish thing for you. It was a blessing for them. They were sick. They were hurting. They had a broken relationship and you prayed and you prayed. Maybe they didn't know the Lord. And you prayed and you prayed and you prayed. I've been praying for my dad since before I was a believer, as a teenager. And he doesn't know the Lord yet, but we're making progress. But he still doesn't know the Lord. Not yet. I'm not a young man anymore, and I've been praying for a long time. Have you brought things to the elders, and the elders prayed for it, and it didn't happen? What do we do with unanswered prayer? Or is it really unanswered? What do we do when we've been praying and praying and we don't see God moving? How do we respond to that? We're going to be looking at James here, 5, 13 through 20, the last few verses of James. And guys, this really gives us insight. And I think sometimes we can just kind of read through it quickly and not get a full understanding of what's being said. But it's really incredible about what's being said here and the depth of what's being taught. So I want to encourage us to be ready for what God has for us. Let's start James 5, starting in verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We'll start right there and let's break this down a little bit. And I see three areas of prayer that are brought forward here. And I think it's important for us to really understand in the Greek language, in the original language, what it's specifically saying of what it means here. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. The phrase here, in trouble, it's a good translation. It's as God's people go through life, they often must go through difficulties that are not the result of sin or God's wrath, or God's, you know, being the heart of the parent that God has for us. Sometimes we go through things, and it's not because he wants us to learn something because we're doing something wrong. And so the first one that's talked about is in trouble. It's stuff coming from without is what the language is saying. So for guys, when we are believers and we're going through the challenges of life, some things that come from without aren't because of our own sin. And it's saying here, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. What should we do when we're in trouble? One of the things we shouldn't do is grumble with each other. One of the things we shouldn't do is try and find the answers in the flesh. And then when we don't, get frustrated and oh man, look at this person. They're being blessed. They've got things that I don't have. Man, that's what we don't do. We shouldn't grumble in our times of trouble. And we shouldn't blame God. Have you ever blamed God? I know I have. I'm sad to say it. At times in my life, I've been like, God, why? What are you doing? I don't understand. At times, I struggle in my faith. Anybody else struggle in your faith at times? Where you just, man, where is God? What is he doing? I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on here. I've been obedient to God. I've been praying for this, and he's not hearing me. And we have those emotions. But we should pray asking God for the wisdom we need to understand the situation that we're in and to use it for his glory. James 1:5. I don't have this on the overhead, but I want you to listen to this. James 1:5, where we started this series. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who will give generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Because when we're in those places where we don't understand, we need to ask God for wisdom. We need to ask God, God, I don't get it. I don't see it in the flesh. I need your heart. I need your eyes. I need your understanding. But more importantly than that, I need your peace. I need your wisdom to know that you're in control. Because there's situations that happen where I don't have the answers. As a pastor, people call me and ask me for advice and ask me to pray for them. And I don't always have the answer. And that's when, man, we go to God in prayer and seek what his word says. And humbly come before a God who gives answers. Prayer can remove affliction, but it can also give us the grace we need to endure the struggle. God can transform troubles into triumphs. He's powerful, isn't he? Have you ever prayed for something and God answered it beyond what you asked? I've had that happen over and over again. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, when I pray, God doesn't answer in the way that I think he's going to answer. He doesn't answer in the way I'm asking him to answer. Man, I tell you, I was so encouraged to hear from a brother that he was with a group. They were praying for prayer, and God didn't send rain. He sent trucks full of water. God answers prayer in different ways than sometimes what we ask for. And it's a beautiful thing. Paul prayed that God might change his circumstance. He was struggling with something. And Paul prayed to God, and God gave Paul the grace he needed to deal with the problem, but not take away the problem. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh. This is Paul speaking. A messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Guys, you know what the answer is of why sometimes it feels like God doesn't answer our prayers? It's because sometimes God says no. Because he's a loving father and he knows what's best. Sometimes we as parents, what do we say to our kids when they want something? No. Now, does a loving parent say no to their children? Yes. Okay, good. Now, I know there's this kind of parenting that's come into the psyche today of you never tell your kids no. All I want to say is when our kids get older, they're going to hear the word no a ton. And I really do believe we have to prepare them for that word, for not getting our way all the time. I think that's a blessing. And sometimes God, our Father, says to us, you know what? I have something better for you. We're not going to go right like you're praying for. We're going to go in a different direction. And it's full of grace and it's full of blessing. Our Lord Jesus prayed in Gethsemane that the cup that he had to take, that it might be removed from him. He was praying, God, I mean, think of it. Jesus, right before he dies on the cross, right before he's crucified, he's praying, God, if it's possible, take this cup from me. See, to be separated from the Father and separated from the Holy Spirit, Jesus knew what was ahead of him. So he's praying for taking our sins upon him. And experiencing the sinfulness of mankind, of people, men and women. Taking all that upon himself. He knew us, and Father, if it's possible, take this. But no. And he goes forward in the will of the Father to die on the cross. And the Father gave him strength he needed to go to the cross and die for our sins. Do you know how to sing when you're suffering? I think this is an important thing as we talk about the challenges that come from without. The challenges that come from without. We need to know how to sing in the midst of suffering. Man, it's hard, isn't it? It's easier to look back and say, hindsight's 20/20, right? It's easier to look back and say, man, look how God was faithful. Look how much, but when you're in the midst of the struggle, it's hard to say, thank you, God. It's hard to give God the glory and trust Him when everything is going different and all our expectations of what we had, of the way things would go, and those expectations aren't being met. And we aren't able to play God in our lives. And we have to turn to a God who is truly in charge and in control. And we have to come to Him, here's the thing, guys, in humility. In humility, knowing that He's the one who's in charge. He's the one who gives the answers. He's the one who directs our paths. God is able to give us, as Job put it, and we talked about Job last week, God is able to give songs in the night, as it talks about in Job 35. Songs in the night, to be able to praise God as we're going through the dead of night where everything's falling apart, where everything's going wrong. And we can have songs in the night. Have you experienced that recently? Where are you right now? What are you going through right now? I don't have a clue for some of you. For some of you, I do because you've shared with me. God knows exactly what you're going through. And here's the difference. You know what you're going through from your perspective. I know what I'm going through from my perspective. Guess what? My perspective is not the right perspective. My perspective, my way of seeing things is one way of seeing things. Somebody else looks at the exact same thing, they're going to see something a little different. But when God views it, He views it in truth and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Nothing is outside of His knowledge. He did this, singing songs in the night. He did this for Paul and Silas when they were suffering in the Philippian jail. They were bound. Imagine being bound. For what? For sharing the gospel. They were sharing the truth of who Jesus is, of the gospel of God. And as a result, they were bound and put in jail. And from what I've read, this is how they would, in that area at that time, for those events, how they would bind them is they would have them sit down, and they would have their feet in front of them and their hands connected with their feet, and they would be bound to where they're stretched out like that. This is not a comfortable position. This is not a way that you think, boy, isn't this great that we're being bound like this for the gospel? And what's their response? Anybody remember? Those songs that we sang, they were singing their favorite songs. You know, the songs that we're going to be singing later on this week. Those songs, they were singing their songs. They were singing songs of praise to God. They weren't saying, we are unjustly bound here. How dare you? God, where are you? What are you thinking? Allowing us to suffer like this. It's not fair, God. That's, I think, a natural response, isn't it? That's an earthly, natural gut response. This isn't fair. We hate injustice, especially when it's injustice to us. And the response is praise and singing. Praying and singing were important elements in worship in the early church, and guys, they're important to us. I want to encourage you, have your hearts full of the Word of God, of songs that worship and bring the praise back to Him and the focus back to Him. Our singing ought to be an expression of our inner spiritual life. And in the times of struggle, man, sing. I'm blessed. One of the things I get to do as a pastor here at the church is I get to have a key. And one of the things I love to do is take my key and come when I'm really struggling at night. Open the door, come and get on that piano and scream, sing. Just sing from my soul. It's not always pretty sounding. But man, I tell you, there's something special about being alone in worship and just, man, crying out to God and singing songs of praise. And I find that I often do that when things are, when I'm really struggling, when I'm hurting. Because I need to be in his presence. Guys, when we're hurting, when things are coming from without and we're hurting, that's when we need to be in his presence. The second part of what it says in the verse is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Not only when we're hurting, but man, this is part of the prayer that gets overlooked. We'll pray often for what we need, but do we always say thank you? Man, it's appropriate when we pray and God answers, even if he answers in a completely different way than what we asked. But God leads us through and gets us through the challenge from without to have a response of, thank you, God. Man, or maybe even while we're in it, to have his presence and to have hope and to be encouraged. It's good to say, thank you, God, for being with me during this time. He says, I promise I'll never leave you or forsake you. And that's a promise he keeps. And so we can experience his goodness, but it's appropriate for us to say thank you. And this is part of the prayer that often gets overlooked. Does anybody here have something specific to say thank you to God for this week? Any one of you? What is it? Anything? His provision. Amen. What else? His grace. We need a lot of that. Right? What's that? Family. Amen. Amen. Because we have so much to pray and be thankful for. And that's an important part of our prayer. The third area, pray for the sick. And guys, this is where I think a lot of theology, a lot of teaching from this verse gets off base because it doesn't fully understand what it's saying. And so we have to be a little bit careful here. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Anybody see anything that looks a little weird here? What's that last two sentences? Or that last sentence? If they've sinned, what? They will be forgiven. So what is this saying? James isn't giving a blanket formula for healing the sick. Has anybody ever prayed to be healed and not been healed physically right then and there? I've prayed more times for healing and haven't experienced the healing than I've experienced the healing. Is that your experience? Here at CBF, the elders and I have prayed for people who are sick, and sometimes God has healed them. Sometimes it's through doctors, sometimes, but the healing takes place that we're praying for. Sometimes it's miraculous and they're just healed. I've experienced that right over there. When I fell down and went down and hurt my back and was told I had two blown discs at VBS, Vacation Bible Adventure. I was told it was going to be a year-long plus recovery. For 3 weeks, I was in the basement and didn't move in a wheelchair. They took the pictures that showed what had happened. And then we go back in three weeks later, and the pictures are different. They take more pictures. Pictures are different. It's impossible. My doctor got mad at me. Sometimes it's hard to accept the healing, especially if you don't have faith. Sometimes we see incredible healing. Guys, what are the special characteristics of this area, this case that James is describing here? The person is sick because of what? Sin, guilt. There's sin involved here. Now, is every time there's sickness, is it because of sin? Absolutely not. And guys, we need to get that out of our head. But sometimes is the result of what we find ourselves in the result of our sin? Absolutely. Absolutely. And the person is sick here, and the wording that it's used in the original language, it makes it even more clear as the verse goes on, is that the person is sick because of sin. And the Greek text here says it's ongoing sin. The word that's used, it's ongoing sin. So it's a sin that I'm still in. I'm still in it. As all of us have areas of weakness. All of us have footholds in our lives. Many of us have strongholds in our lives. Many of us have areas that we struggle a little bit and we kind of go in and out of, and that's an area that we experience real struggle in. Some of us have areas of our lives that, man, just defeat day in, day out. I always say with the men's Bible study, I know there's three things that every normal, healthy man experiences struggle with: pride, lust, and anger. Now, maybe to varying degrees, but these are areas that are, man, they're a struggle. And for men to say, no, I don't struggle with that at all. I've never struggled. Man, there's maybe also a struggle with honesty. Right? We struggle. First Corinthians 11:30 says, "For this cause many are weak and sick among you." Just a reminder that sometimes the sin in our lives affects us. When we sin, what was said here? Guilt, shame. What happens when we sin? There's that guilt and shame response. What happens to us physically that we know from doctors, that we know when I've got guilt and shame for a long period of time, what happens to my physical body? It is affected by guilt and shame. What I think, how I feel, affects what's actually happening in my flesh, in my body. It's all connected, guys. We tend to think of things as just complete. It's all connected. It's not separate. It's all connected. The person is healed by what? In verse 15, do we see? The prayer of faith. And the prayer offered in faith will make the person well. The prayer offered in faith will make the person well. What? The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Now let me ask you this. Is it easier for me to say, man, Aaron, you know what? I'm going to pray that God heals that part on your body, that your hand that's not feeling good. I'm going to pray that God heals that. Or is it easier to say, hey, Aaron, your sins are forgiven? You see, we see the physical aspect of the physical body being healed. That's miraculous. But for sins to be forgiven, it's got to be God. Because it's got to be a perfect sacrifice for our sin. And only God can fit that. Only Christ, Jesus, is without sin. And he is the perfect sacrifice for us. And it's interesting what it says here. It's the Greek word for anointing. Let them call the elders of the church, pray over them, and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The Greek word translated from this word, anointing, it's a medical term. And I think one of the reasons that word is used is because sometimes as Christians we can get over spiritual. And we think, God will heal me, therefore I don't need God's people's help. Guess what? Often God answers the prayers through people, doesn't he? And one of the ways that God heals is through doctors. And I want to encourage you, if you've got this idea in your head that, you know what, I'm going to pray and not go to the doctor, I would suggest this. Pray and go to the doctor. Pray first. That's an appropriate response. But, you know, I think of that joke where the person's on the roof of a house and it's been flooding. It's this natural disaster. And as the person is on the roof, he's praying and praying, God, please help me, help me, help me. And a boat comes, and then a motorboat comes, and then a water plane comes. And all the time they come and they say, hey, we're here to help you. Oh, no, I don't need your help. God's going to save me. And then the person drowns and dies and goes to heaven and says, God, where were you? And he says, I sent you a boat, a motorboat, a plane. What are you thinking, man? Get on board. So sometimes God answers through his people, doesn't he? Amen. This may be an indication that James is suggesting this, is suggesting that the available means for healing are not only from the Lord, but through his people. It says in verse 16, the person confesses his sins. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Let's think about that. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I remember being scared of this verse for years. This verse bothered me because the first thing that came to my mind was, am I a righteous person? I looked at that verse and I want somebody else to pray for me. On the big ones, I'm going to ask for the really spiritual big hitters to pray for those. Being a pastor, some of you have come to me and said, Pastor, man, this is a big one. Can I get your prayer? Guess what? My position won't help you at all. Prayers will, because we're offering them up in faith, but not because of the position of pastor. Amen. Thank you. The power of bringing it, as I've got here, the power of bringing it onto the home turf of bringing it into the light. The idea that, you know what? Why would we go and play away when we can play at home? To have the home field advantage of bringing it into the light. Now we're on God's turf. Now, and as we share with one another, what happens? Because the enemy lies to us, doesn't he? The enemy is a liar. He's a deceiver. And for the believer, he has no hold over our lives. So the only way he can have an effect in our lives is to get us to believe that some of his lies are truth. And so when we sin, there's the guilt, the shame. There's the heart that's heavy. There's the physical part of our bodies that are being negatively impacted by it. And the enemy is celebrating because we've got it all hidden in the back. We've locked it up in the closet. And how's everything going? Oh, it's great. Life's great. And the smile is that smile that's the fading smile. Oh, it's good. Life's so good. God's good. My life is great. Amen. And we put on the mask of that fake smile. We put on the mask of everything's okay. Guys, we're on the enemy's turf. We're giving him the advantage because we're believing his lie. We need to get onto our own home turf and bring it into the light and experience the blessing of God. Then we go, Elijah was a human being, verse 17. Even as we are, he prayed earnestly that it would rain, and it did not rain, that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Guys, prayer is getting God's will done on earth. I want you to think about that. Prayer is getting God's will done on earth. It's not getting my will agreed to from heaven. Think of the difference there. Prayer is not saying, God, I need you to buy into my will. I need you to follow me. That's not prayer. That's arrogance. For me to be telling the Creator, all-powerful, all-knowing God, you're doing it wrong. Do it my way. Prayer is saying, man, I need to get to the heavens into this earth right here. We need to experience the power and the presence of God here and now on earth. And it's not something that comes easy. And for time's sake, I'm going to go to the end here without saying too much about that. But he gives this beautiful example of this prayer offered in faith. And then he goes on to say in the last two verses, in verses 19 and 20 of James 5, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. When James did not specifically name prayer in these verses, he doesn't specifically say for 19 and 20 that this is also about the prayer, but the implication is here, guys. If we pray for the afflicted and the sick, we must also surely pray for our brother who wanders from the truth, our sister who's struggling with going their own way. And so rather than going to them and trying to talk them some sense into them, where do we start? We go to prayer. We go to prayer. We go to prayer before them, and then we go to prayer with them. Guys, there's times where we don't have the words, when we don't know what to say, and that's when we need to pray. When we can't figure out the right words to make it better, man, that's an indication, guys. Well, we should start with prayer, but when we've gone there, that's an indication. We need to pray here. Rather than giving my wisdom, my understanding, Let's go to God. Let's seek his will, his purpose for our lives. These verses deal with our ministry to a fellow believer who strays from the truth in sin. And guys, we need to do this humbly, because every single person here, there are times in the past where you've strayed from the truth. And I'm willing to bet for most of us there are going to be times, maybe in smaller ways, maybe for some in bigger ways, where we stray. Maybe it's in a relationship that you have a lot of pain around. And because of that pain, it hasn't been dealt with. And so as you look at that relationship, you see it through this perspective from your own wound. It's hard to see truth when you're looking through your own wound, isn't it? But I want to encourage you. Let's be quick to go to our brother, humbly go to our brother or sister and pray with them, but even that before we meet them, pray before we see them. Lift the situation up in prayer. I can't tell you how many times I've been meeting with people and I don't have the words. And you turn to prayer and God speaks. God speaks. So as we've looked at James, this incredible book of, man, where the rubber meets the road of faith, I want us to be thinking about some of these questions. These are from the 5 chapters of James. Am I becoming more and more patient in the testings in my life? Do I play with temptation or resist it from the start? Are you dipping your toe in temptation around you? Do you see and wonder, is the grass greener over there? Do I find joy in obeying the word of God, or are we just comfortable with learning and hearing about things and becoming knowledgeable? Is it just head knowledge, or is it the heart is transformed? The will, the soul, is being moved by God. Are there any prejudices in my life that are causing me to be living in bondage? Are there any ways that I'm viewing people in a way that sin has gotten a hold of my heart and mind? And now I'm in bondage to these prejudices. Am I able to control my tongue? Do I get mad and everybody knows, you know what? This is just me. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Or is my life seen as a life of grace and encouragement and blessing? Am I able to control my tongue? Am I a peacemaker or a troublemaker? As situations come up in the church, do I try and bring healing or do I try and get it done right? No matter the cost of relationships in this church, we're going to figure it out and we're going to do it my way. Do people come to me to get because I've got the ear of the people, or do they come to me because, man, there's wisdom from God? Am I a friend of God or a friend of the world? Do I make plans without considering the will of God? Am I selfish when it comes to money? Am I unfaithful in how I view things? Or whether in need or in plenty, do I view what I have as a way to bless and bring blessing to many in many different ways? Do I naturally depend on prayer when I find myself in trouble? Am I the kind of person that seeks prayer support of others and am willing to bring it into the light and share with the people around me? Or do I want to just keep it locked up and hidden and be on the enemy's home turf? What is my attitude towards a wandering brother or sister who's struggling in their sin? Do I have a heart of compassion and pray for them and want to minister and encourage and bless? Or do I have this attitude of, what are you doing? This judgmental attitude that pushes them further away in their sin and makes me feel more and more spiritually special. What is my attitude towards the wandering brother? Also, do I gossip about what I know? Or do I honor them in keeping that confidence? Are we just growing older or are we growing up? It's not enough to just get older. There's a lot of gray-haired children on this earth, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. We don't need more men and women who are living as though they're children. We need to grow and yet still keep the heart of the child, of what it means to be, have that childlike faith, that trust that God will bless and encourage and show up and minister. As I hope you're encouraged the way I've been encouraged through this book. It's a challenging book, isn't it? And I've gone a little longer than I wanted. So I think what I want to do is let's all stand together. And I've asked a few elders to be ready to be standing on the sides. We're going to have a little bit of music here for just a couple minutes. We're going to take about 3 minutes. And as music's playing, if there is something that you want to turn to a brother or sister next to you and pray about with God, with each other, please do that. If there's an elder or somebody or myself who's nearby and you want to come up during this time and ask for prayer, and we pray, let's do that. So if we could have just a few minutes of music, and guys, and if you're going to stay where you're at, let's be praying for those who are coming forward. Let's be praying for those who are praying with a brother or sister next to them. Lord, let's be praying between you and God. But let's just have a time of hearing from God and responding to Him.